This is the Untold Italy Travel Podcast, and you're listening to episode number 37.
Ciao and benvenuti to Untold Italy. I'm Josie.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to help you plan your trip to Italy.
Between us, we have many years of travel experience, and we want to help you uncover your own, as yet untold, stories and adventures in Italy.
Each episode, you'll hear practical advice, tips and ideas to help you plan your own trips to the magical land of history, stunning landscapes and a whole lot of pasta.
We'll have interviews from experts and focus on local destinations and frequently asked questions about travel in Italy.
Thanks for listening and make sure to subscribe to our show.
Now let's get started on your regular dose of Bella Italia.
Buongiorno, ciao everyone. Hope you're all doing well, wherever you are in the world. It's Katie here with another foodie edition of Untold Italy. But before we get started on that, I wanted to do a big shout out to one of our listeners, Dibindi on iTunes, who sent us some lovely, lovely feedback. They wrote, "Thanks, ladies. Love your stories, guest speakers, and practical advice. Sadly, we, like many others, couldn't visit Italy this year, but listening to your podcasts bring beautiful images of Italy. Just listening to your episode on Brescia, one of our favourite places. Looking forward to every episode." We appreciate you, Dibindi. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to record and research the podcast as it transports us to Italy a few hours a week. We are so glad you enjoy it. Now on to this week's episode. Today I am welcoming back my friends Chantal and Giovanni to chat to us about all things truffle. This delicious ingredient pairs wonderfully with pasta, and they are some of the decadent must-try dishes when you visit Italy, as they are best eaten fresh out of the ground. Chantal and Giovanni lived in beautiful Le Marche, a region to the east of Rome where you can find amazing truffle experiences almost all year round. But as we are coming into the main white truffle season, which is fall or autumn in Italy, I thought I would invite them onto the show to tell us what it is like to go truffle hunting, what these truffles taste like, and how to eat them, and much, much more. Chantal and Giovanni run the Italian on Tour company, which organises amazing immersive small group tours in the Marche and Abruzzo regions. They have just launched their truffle tours, which are available for this year if you are in Europe, or 2021 for the rest of us. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but for now, let's get talking about those truffles.
Ciao, Chantal and Giovanni. Welcome back to the Untold Italy podcast. I can't wait to talk tartufi or truffles with you both and hear what's been happening in Le Marche.
Hello.
Ciao, Katie. Thanks for having us back again.
Oh, it's great to hear your voices. So just in case our listeners missed our first episode that we recorded with you, Chantal, could you give us a quick introduction about yourselves and your company, The Italian on Tour?
Yes, the Italian on Tour, we give people a backstage pass to experiencing Italy's hidden regions, and our focus is Le Marche. It's run by Giovanni and I, and we host every single tour, which takes you based in Ascoli Piceno, which is a beautiful city of travertine, and we travel throughout the Le Marche region, and we focus on authentic food, wine, and culinary experiences of our region while connecting you to the locals.
Amazing. Thanks, Chantal.
Can you just tell us a bit about how you two met? Because I know that's one of my favorite stories.
We actually met at university when we were 19. We met through a friend because I had traveled to Italy, and I was not really interested in Italian men because, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, always catcalling you. So when I first met him, I told him, well, you know, I don't really like Italians.
It's been 16 years we've been together, just to make a point
there. So that didn't last very long. Giovanni changed my mind, and I went from thinking I was going to marry a Spanish man to marrying an Italian.
Aww. I've heard that a few times now, but I love hearing that story. And I also love hearing about how much you love food and the Le Marche region. And so today we're going to talk about something that I love to eat, and that's truffles. And I believe the truffles from Marche are some of the best in the world, which and extremely delicious. And perhaps people may not have tried truffles before. So can you explain what they are and what they taste like?
I'll have Giovanni explain because he has just years of experience with truffles. He used to sell fresh truffles to the top restaurants in Vancouver. One of his top clients was Hawksworth. So he knows all about truffles. So why don't you tell us?
So that's funny you ask because I had that question when I first tried. I mean, a lot of Italians eat truffles, obviously, growing up if you're in the region. But when I started working with the restaurants in Canada, my good friend who was a restaurant owner used to tell me truffle tastes like truffle. So it's one of those things that if you never had it or never smelled it, it's very difficult to describe because it's basically its own food group. It's not a mushroom. It's not a tuber. It's something so unique that you really have to smell it first and then taste it on something or even by itself. And then it stays with you forever. Kind of like when you try a wine and if you do a sommelier course or if you're into wines and you try a wine or a whiskey and you hear, oh, I feel like I smell a leather or a fresh lime or whatever you smell in it. But you have that to have that stored in your brain in a sense. So you have to have smelled it before. That's the same thing with truffle. And then you'll kind of recognize the truffle smell immediately. If you even if you see it, it'll come up to your mind. If you are reading about it or looking at it on the internet or something and you see a picture of it, it'll come back to your mind what it tastes like because it's so unique. So it's very earthy. The first thing that comes to mind is it's an earthy experience. And there are different kinds of truffle. I'm sure we'll get to mention them. But the one everybody knows and you probably read about, it's the white truffle, which they call Magnatum Pico. That's a Latin name. And that's the king of truffles. And that's another category within the category. And that's very, very potent smell. I mean, Chantel is smiling here next to me because I used to bring them home from work sometimes because I used to go to restaurant owners and they can't come in on the plane. And basically, I would have dogs follow me home. I'd have animals follow me home because they'd smell it like a mile or 2 miles away. And if we put it in the fridge, even if it was just overnight, even if it was perfectly stored, everything, even that was bad, like salad, would taste like truffle because the smell is so strong and it's so intense for about, a few days, five to 7 days.
Like I would wake up and I want to make breakfast in the morning and literally the milk would be like truffle infused milk. It's very, very intense. When it comes to like white truffle, and that's also like one of the things that make it more prestigious or more expensive.
Yes, obviously it's the aroma. Just like anything else, if it tastes that good or smells that good, then it's more expensive. I find that as a general rule in food too. You can look at other niche products and you realize, there's a reason why, caviar, if you've ever had caviar, tastes like, some people don't like it, of course, but it's very unique if you eat caviar, especially some kind of caviar. And it's the same with truffle, but it's a lot more intense in that sense. You can also do more with it. Doesn't have to just be eaten, in one way.
It's really quite versatile, I'd have to say. Like for me, one of the nicest memories I have is actually the first time I had truffle. And it was the morning after we got married at this beautiful villa. And we had fresh truffle shaved over scrambled eggs for the brunch. And it was just something so unique and so good. When it's fresh, it doesn't compare to something that obviously it's great truffles when you have them and you have white truffle or black truffle when they fly it over. But having it fresh, that's been picked that morning or that day is a whole other experience.
Yeah. Like to give you an idea, I'm sure in Australia as well, people can buy the truffles, like in the specialty shops, they can buy those little black truffles that are inside the, you know, they're normally in a glass jar and they put a special liquid that they mix to keep it. And that's still potent. So you can imagine what something is like, you know, when it comes out of the ground. A lot of people I've seen that smelled it the first time. Again, if it's like, I've never smelled anything that smells like this. It's not like, oh, this smells like this thing. It doesn't. It's a very unique. Some of the books that talk about truffles, they even say it's kind of, you know, it literally is its own category. So if you're thinking of smells, like truffle would be one of the categories.
I know this might sound weird, but I think the first time I ever smelled truffles, white truffle, it reminded me of petrol.
Yeah, because, oh. I mean, we don't want to turn people off, of course, because it doesn't smell.
It doesn't taste like that, no. But it had that intensity.
What happens is when truffles, and that's one of the reasons why it's so good to have truffle fresh, one if you can, once in your life, is with travel, things change. It's not a bottle of wine that's, you know, gets better and just has to be stored at temperature. With travel and air pressure and other things and temperature, things do change. So sometimes when the truffle is inside just 24 hours inside a piece of paper or it's being stored even properly, it'll give out this kind of slightly ammonia, almost like ammonia smell. And then as soon as you open it, it loses it. And that's just what happens when the truffle basically thinks it's back underground. That's part of why dogs can smell it so far.
The smell of the truffle is very important because it's how they get found, right?
Yes. The smell is the most important, and it's why it's so, it's very difficult. You have dogs to, you know, being trained for those kind of smells, and only certain kind of dogs. And also it's the kind of smell that dogs love to smell, if that makes sense. So it's food, of course, but it's so intense they can feel it in the air, and it's very obvious when you go truffle hunting like we have in the past that it's a very innate abilities of some dogs to find truffles.
It's a really fun and exciting experience, and that's why we decided we had to include it on our tours. And it's really like the synergy between man and his best friend. And the dogs, like, they get so excited. There's three dogs where we go. One named Gyanda, acorns, because actually acorn trees help truffles grow. Like, they aid in helping that. And then there's Trilly and Electra. And they get so excited. And it's really interesting to see, like, they go after it, they search around, they go find, you know, oh, this could be where it is. And then when they find it, they just like dig, and they're so excited for it. And the truffle hunter gets them really excited and, you know, encourages them. But the important thing is, like, you can't let them actually get right down to the truffle, because if they do, they'll eat it.
They have eaten pieces of it. Like, they'll just grab it so quick that even though he says no and he, you know, tries to take it away, they'll have chewed half the thing, and then they can't use it, of course. So it's a very difficult, like, we've seen it, and I've seen it many times, and even the best dogs and the best truffle hunters, they have to kind of factor that in, a small loss, literally, on the truffle, which, you know, obviously, if it's, you can't sell it, but if it's broken in pieces, you can use it for other things. But the whole idea is, you know, to see the truffle and to be able to shave the truffle. If you go to a restaurant, nobody wants to see these little pieces. They want to see a big kind of nugget. They want to see a something in your hand and you shaving it. That's the whole point of the experience, and you can smell it. So it's very important for the truffles to be entire. And when you come truffle hunting with us, for example, then, you know, it's obvious when the dog has gone too far, because the level of the, I want to say the yelling, but of the enforcing, it just goes higher and higher.
Yeah.
And then you just hear, no, and then they stop. So,
like, basically when we go, Well, I swear that every single like truffle hunter looks like the Italian version of Crocodile Dundee. They've got like their vest and they got like their knife and their truffle tools. And so when we go, like basically the dogs dig for it. And then at the end, you know, he pushes the dog away and he has to use his tools to get it out because you don't want to break the truffle because then it's not, you know, a viable product to be sold anymore. Because as Giovanni was saying, people want to see a whole truffle. And like the pictures, many of the pictures on our website, those are pictures like that we took on our truffle experiences. So you can kind of see like in your hand, your whole hand is covered with this massive truffle. So it's pretty cool to be able to see that, especially when you know, like there's a lot of times you go to restaurants and you see a small truffle. So to be able to like get these big truffles, it's a cool experience.
Wow. And is there an advantage for it to be big rather than small? Is there an intensity of flavor that comes with it as well?
Yeah, so the way it works is it's actually like that in some other foods. Like I can give you an example. People eat fish, tuna, you know. So the bigger a tuna or the fattier the tuna, if you eat tuna or swordfish, the higher the price of the tuna. Mm-hmm. Because it means it's an older fish. And it, with truffle is the same as the larger it is, the price of the truffle per, you know, kilo, let's say, or per pound is much higher as it goes up. So they have little categories like 10 grams, 20 grams. I don't know, you know, if you work with ounces, like an ounce is around 30 grams. So something around an ounce or 25, 30 grams is kind of a good mix between not too expensive, but still very good. And then when it goes over 50 grams is a different price. And then over 100 is the last jump. And then there is a jump that's like for the massive ones you see the pictures of. And those, it's just based on what is somebody willing to pay for it, basically. Because there's no more per kilo, per pound price. It's just, I want to have it in the restaurant or I want to have a show or whatever it is. Like we had people that weren't even in the restaurant business call us for truffles when I worked in the business because they were having a special dinner or an event or an anniversary and they just buy a biggest truffle they could get their hand on. And then, you know, the price can go up significantly. You know, it could be, two, three times higher or even higher, 10 times higher for the really large ones. So the size does affect the aroma, but it doesn't mean that a very large truffle is going to be the most aromatic. It's not like there's a direct rule. But certainly,
general,
something larger would be more fragrant and better.
Wow. So what would be the price of one of these mega big truffles?
Well, it depends. Like, obviously, it's tough to... I can tell you, like, things that I've sold, for example, like, that I've actually seen, because every year the price is different because it's just like wine. You'll see the same wine. 1 year is more expensive than others. Like in Australia, for example, they have some exceptional years. And then, for example, I don't know, Penfold sells their top of the line wines, the most expensive wines, very high that year because it was a very perfect, you know, dry year, perfect year, no rain, whatever they were looking for. So for truffles, it's the same. If it's too hot, it's not good. If it's too rainy, it's not good. So when it's perfect, maybe every 5 years, like in 2013, I think we had a very good year. And, you know, some of the large truffles, like a truffle that, you know, can kind of fit in your hand, something around a pound, you know, could be $6,000, $6,000 Canadian. So, and then something bigger would be much higher.
But that would be like the restaurant cost.
No, that's what the basic cost is.
Yeah.
So the cost per kilo. So 1 kilo would be $3,000. But if it's an exceptional year, there's a lot of truffles. The price goes down, but the big truffles get more expensive. So it's opposite of what you think. If there's a lot of truffles, it does get cheaper in that year. But a large truffle is still even more expensive because it's an exceptional year, because they're still so difficult to be found. Yeah.
Amazing.
So
what are the perfect conditions for truffles in?
I would say probably the right answer would be there are no perfect conditions in the sense that, like, weather-wise, it could be, it doesn't matter. I mean, the perfect conditions is more about if the right trees are there. So not just the weather. But there have to be the right trees, there has to be the right brushes, there has to be the right grass.
The right microclimate, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, they're microclimates. So ideally, though, like weather-wise, if you think a very dry year and then some rain, I've heard and seen, could be very good. A hot year with no rain, it could be very bad. The worst years I've seen are the years where Italy didn't get rain for 4 to 6 months. So it does need the temperature to cool down a little bit. And that's part of the reason why also we're, you know, with the truffle tours,
we do them in November because that's kind of the height of we do a tour specifically around truffles because that's one of the main like height of the season is like November to say January, but generally November is really nice still here to travel. So that's when we do these, we have two exclusive dates a year where we just do it all about truffles in Limache. So Limache, we're really blessed. We have white and we also have the called the Nero Pregiato really close to Ascoli, which is like the prestigious black truffle. And that truffle, and same with the white, requires the colder weather to be produced. So there's so many different types of truffles, but the most prestigious ones require cool weather, and generally the terrain is more mountainous. Now,
rugged terrain.
Yeah, yes. Rugged terrain. Like when we go to the truffle hunt, it's on a steep hill. And that's another thing. Like truffles are expensive because they're not easy to find. And they can't be, say, cultivated. They can be helped by, like, planting certain trees. And these areas that they do that in are called tartufaia.
So you can, like, do this anywhere that truffles could grow. You could plant some trees that you read about. And then you can wait 15 to 20 years and maybe something comes out. It's a very long-term investment for people to do that. But it doesn't mean it will. It doesn't mean things will grow. Or it'll be good. So it's a very risky thing. And that's part of the cost of truffles when you think about why they're expensive.
Like I think a lot of people who get into the truffles here is because they've had the land. Like where we go, he had the land for many years. And before he even started as an agriturismo, he actually used to go to the markets in London and sell. Some of his top clients were Jamie Oliver's restaurants, Gordon Ramsay. And so there are chefs that have really been valuing like the quality of Le Marque's truffles for many years. But people, you know, abroad don't hear a lot about Le Marque because we're not hugely promoted in that way. A lot of people hear about Alba, but the fact is Alba doesn't necessarily produce that amount of truffles that people are saying are from Alba. So a lot of times you may be thinking, oh, you've got a truffle, you're eating a truffle in Alba, but maybe they've bought it from Le Marche or Abruzzo, which we also visit. Abruzzo also has, you know, the mountain range that goes the Apennines, and then you have the Gran Sasso. There, they have the truffles where it's cooler.
It's a bit of, it comes down to marketing a lot of the times, doesn't it? How
Definitely.
Well they position themselves.
Yes, I mean, the production, you can look at the production, but generally the most famous truffles you hear is from the region, the Alba. They have festivals that have been promoting for over 60 years. There are all these, you know, famous wines, the Barolo, the Nebbiolo, Barbaresco that go with that. So, but all of Italy produces truffle. Basically, almost every region has some truffle. Some few regions have white truffle, but the ones that do have white truffle are about four or five regions. So there's kind of split amongst themselves. And it's not just Piemonte that produces truffle.
Like the area, so people who are interested in visiting Urbino, which was on the 52 places to visit this year for the New York Times. It's the birthplace of Raphael. I believe I mentioned it on our previous podcast. But outside of Urbino, there's a town called Aquilagna. And there they produce lots of white truffle. They also every year have at the first 2 weeks of November, they have basically like a truffle auction. So it's a big truffle festival where people can come buy truffles, everything from white to black truffles. So it is become, I believe actually it is the third largest in Italy at this point. So it's a very big truffle festival that is known well around Italy and in London for people looking to buy truffles from Le Marche.
That sounds like fun. I bet there's a lot of eating that goes on there too.
Yes, they do. And because it's direct selling for a lot of the, you can't call them farmers, but some of them are farmers that also have truffles, tartufaia. And it's a lot of direct selling. So you can try things at a reasonable price, you know, what very reasonable for what truffle is. So you can do menus and stuff, and we've seen some.
Yes, actually, in our region, we've been really fortunate. We have some great chefs here. We have this one chef called Enrico Mazzaroni, and he's been able to bring Massimo Bottura here quite a few times. He comes and he does like a tasting menu, which is very affordable, and he does it in a mandala, which is right nearby, which is in the truffle region that we visit and take people on tour, and it's all about the black truffle. So it's if it's good enough for Massimo Bottura, it's good enough for me.
I agree. Absolutely. So for those of you who don't know who Massimo Bottura is, he's the man or the head chef of one of the restaurants that's been voted the best in the world. Several times, yeah. Actually.
Mm. Yes.
And yes. Now he has other restaurants too, like smaller restaurants and, you know, not a 3-star Michelin. Like he has other things that he's invested in as well the last few years to kind of trickle down the research that they've done in the Osteria Francescana, that's the name of the restaurant, the kitchen, to for everybody to try. But yeah, he comes here and then they call this Diamonds on the Table. That's the name of the event. And they do that. So that's not very far from us. Yeah. That's maybe 40 minutes from where Ascoli is, our base for everything. So, and that's in November as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you can see, November is really like a great time to come if you're wanting to just indulge in truffles. So that's the time for truffles. And we personally always get truffles in November.
And another thing that's interesting, I mean, we know we're talking about truffle, but November is a big month in Italy for other things. Like there are other vegetables that come out in the winter, obviously, and there's wines that are open for the first time from the previous year. So a lot of the reds are being opened. So it's, if you do come to Italy in the fall, like end of October to kind of January, there are a lot of different things that you'll be eating versus what you're eating in the summer when most people visit. So it's a cool experience.
Yeah, that's something I really love about Italy, is the cuisine is very seasonal and it just seems to like fit. Like Giovanni's talking about different things that come out. So like porcini mushrooms and chestnuts. So you'll find like dishes like ravioli stuffed with chestnuts, or gnocchi with chestnuts in Italy is castagne in Italian. And so you'll find lots of dishes around that. And even around Christmas, you'll find that the sweets are like stuffed with this cream of chestnuts, because that's what's very popular and that's growing in season that time of year.
Delicious, delicious, delicious. But what do you eat, apart from scrambled eggs, which with truffles, which sounds extremely decadent, and I would love to try that, especially with the white truffle. But what other dishes do they make with truffles?
One of the things that's really just simple and beautiful is handmade egg pasta. And actually, when you come on tour with us, Paolo's Zia comes out and you get to watch her make the handmade pasta, and you get to have fresh truffle that you found that morning shaven over your handmade pasta, your egg pasta.
Eggs are their eggs.
Yeah.
Their
own chicken.
So it's it's just egg and pasta. There's no water. There's nothing else. So it's a really nice hearty meal.
Yeah.
And that's I'd say that's the quintessential one, even for restaurants, is a fresh egg pasta, like tagliatelle, tagliolini, something long. And then truffle on it, and you know, if you really want to be daring, butter, but some people don't even put the butter. You have to put something on it, oil or butter, a little bit, and delicate. And then there are obviously many other dishes, but one of the places that we bring,
one of the places we go that's family run, and they only have truffle when it's fresh, like black truffle. They will not serve anything because, you know, there are places that obviously try and store truffles or they use frozen truffles. We've heard it all. But he's always uses fresh. And one of the favorite dishes that our guests always love on tour, and it's one of Giovanni's, it's called tortino d'orzo. So it's like of orzo.
It's a barley flan, basically. It's a flan, so it's something, you know, it looks like a little mini cake, basically, but I didn't want to say cake because then people think it's a dessert.
It's hard to explain. It's like, it's done, like, I guess when you think of, like, a little, like, personal flan, it's done in the same shape, and then he puts, like, a pecorino sauce. Pecorino is very typical cheese around here, and there's truffles inside, and then on top, there's shavings of black truffle. It's really, like, it's simple ingredients, it's but decadent. And
that's an appetizer. Or we've had people that had it for dessert, basically, because
they want a second one, right? Because, yeah. How many times do you come to Italy during truffle season and you get to have, you know, the dishes that are here that are seasonal? So you might as well enjoy it while you can.
And then we have gelato with truffle as well.
Yeah.
So that's special.
To finish everything off, gelato with truffle.
Wow. That's very good. That sounds a little bit outrageous in a good way.
Well, you know, you've got to do it once, right?
They mix it in. It's not normally put on top like you would imagine.
No, it's done very well, and it's not done in a way that's overwhelming. It's amazing, actually, like when you think like the different uses for truffle, and also like for me, and also for people who don't know, but I'm celiac, so I have to be gluten-free, and risotto with truffle is something that you'll find often, and it's just so simple. It's kind of the idea of, like, the egg pasta. It's simple, but you just add truffle, and it makes it decadent.
That's what I cook at home. That's what we make. Once a year, we buy a little truffle, and that's what we make for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Just risotto with truffle, so.
We love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love it too. That's something that you're going to remember for the rest of your life, isn't it? If you just make the pasta and you shave the truffle over, that you're on the hunt to find yourself. I can't imagine a more interesting and sort of emotional experience, actually, especially if you're really into food, to have that experience.
Absolutely. And if you're a dog lover, even more, because like I'm a dog lover, and it's just a lot of fun to do an experience, and it's also tied into food, and so you have this full, you know, memory. You cultivated, well, not cultivated, but you found the truffle, you've gone out there, you've done something with the locals, and then you've got to try the local dishes. So it's like this, you know, you get to come home with these amazing memories from the food to the people, to the dogs, to the place. It's something you'll never forget.
No, I don't think you ever would. I think it sounds extremely very, very special. And so, but you can find the truffles throughout the year, not just in November and fall, right?
That is true. Here we have the summer truffle as well. And summer truffle, I was actually first hesitant to try summer truffle because I'd heard people say, oh, it tastes like nothing. Well, it tastes like nothing if it's traveled too far. But if you just pick that truffle out of the ground and, you know, 30 minutes later, you're shaving it over top of handmade egg pasta, it tastes absolutely delicious. And, you know, it's not something to be frowned upon like I originally thought, because so many people had said that they weren't fragrant, but when they're fresh, that's the only way to have summer truffle.
Yeah. And summer goes from May to mid-September, end of September, and then there's a little break, and then a few weeks later the black and the white truffles, the black truffle that's in the winter, it's got a different name. But that one comes out, and it peaks around mid-November to mid-January. And then it's nothing until, April, May again. So there, about, I would say, 4 months of the year, there's absolutely nothing coming out of the ground. And maybe 2 months you have white, and 4 to 5 months you have the summer. So some of them overlap. but they're not obviously long seasons, and that contributes to the whole thing and the experience and also the price of truffles, because it's not something that just grows continuously.
Yeah. So like the summer truffle is definitely a more cost-effective way to try truffle. But I would always recommend, if you're going to have summer truffle, it needs to be like picked that day to actually have a good experience. But because it's available, you know, throughout the year, and it can grow in hot weather, it's less, you know, less prestigious per se, because it's not as difficult to find.
The quantities are also higher. That really is a big thing. When people are curious on why it's more or less expensive, it's just like anything else. Like, there's a lot of it coming out of the ground. And I mean, a lot in terms of truffle is still nothing, because it's still, you know, very difficult to find them. But with black, in some cases, like the summer is 10 times higher than it is for winter black. That's just to give you an idea. And the winter black, which we also try, and we have a protected region here near Ascoli, by the government where they find it. That one is also special, and it's basically a lot more potent, and that you can only have from, again, November to end of January. But it's not the same as summer truffle, of course, but it's just darker. Like, when you open it, it looks dark inside as well. It's not whitish. So it's just more fragrant overall.
Yeah. And it's basically the things that make truffle expensive: how hard it is to find, the level of the aroma, and then the size, which comes into play.
Yeah.
Mm. And so what sort of wines? I know every time we talk about food, initially we also need to talk about wine. So what are the wines, the local wines from around your region near Ascoli, that go really well with truffles?
Well, I mean, obviously it depends the kind of truffle. I would say, if we're talking, you know, let's say summer truffle, then all the DOC wines that we have, like Rosso Piceno, which is a Montepulciano base wine, that's DOCG, even Pecorino, which is a white, you can have anything. With the white, it becomes more about also a personal taste, because you have already kind of have an evolved palate, in a sense, to mix the two. The white is so overwhelming, some people choose not to drink wine with it, believe it or not.
Mm. Okay.
So they just have the, you know, yeah, I've seen it where, I mean, they do a wine pairing, of course, but some people, it's just so much for them. But it would be more structured wine. So still in the same area, which is Rosso Piceno, but maybe you want to get like something that's 5 or 10 year old, a vintage, because you're going to hit a lot of those incredible things, like we were talking before, in your palate when you have the truffle, and you want something to match. So definitely a red, and an aged red, and even a Montepulciano d'Abruzzo, which we produce here at the border of where we are, basically between Marche and Abruzzo, but even in a Marche. And in general, I would say an older wine, a more structured wine would be best, or nothing. Beer, I don't know, people ask me about beer too. You can have like these nice, you know, strong red artisan beers and whatnot. I would do wine overall, though.
I think wine's more Italian, although now, we do have a lot of artisan beer makers popping up recently.
Yeah.
Okay. So now walk me through exactly what's going to happen if we come on one of your truffle tours.
Well, our truffle tour is basically not just truffle hunting. So it's also about the whole overall experience of coming during the truffle season. And so the food on tour and the towns that we visit are based on the fact that they're in the truffle country, and we also go to Abruzzo. So on our truffle tour, we've also mixed in some history as well, because our region has that. So there'll be some lovely walking tours to really get to know some of the most beautiful medieval villages that we have. One of them that specializes in truffles is Campli in Abruzzo, and it also is known for its porchetta. But more specifically, on the day where we actually go for truffle hunting. We go in the morning normally because that's the coolest time. And for the dogs, it's a lot of work. So we take a beautiful drive from Ascoli to the Nero Pregiato region of the protected area for our black truffle here. And we go to an agriturismo. And there you will meet the dogs and you will meet the truffle hunter, Paolo. And he'll take you to his tartufaia, where you will go with the dogs and the dogs will search for the truffle. Now, the experience is really cool because, you know, like when the dogs find the truffle,
it's real.
Like truffle, the earth is so impacted. There's no way they could have been planted. So that's something like for us, we always try the experiences because we want something authentic. And we, before going into truffles, had heard so much about, oh, there's all these fake experiences. People plant them to guarantee the truffles. So Paolo has a tartufaia, which means it helps the truffles grow. And so he goes in there and the dogs go after it and they dig and they get all excited and he encourages them. And then you get to help dig the truffle out of the ground.
You dig them out. And something I wanted to say is that he knows we're coming. So he doesn't go out for truffles for a few days. So I'm really proud to say it's the real thing. I've done many experiences and we want it to be as authentic as it can. Obviously, truffle, like we said before, you can't just plant it and grow it. So you're not always guaranteed to find a lot or a certain size, but generally it's, you know, very, very authentic experience. And that's what we wanted. And that's why we only do it during the months where we know the truffle is going to be there. He has a very large area of a few hectares that we walk on. So obviously if you have a larger area, the chances of you finding more are higher. It's a beautiful experience. And you literally dig it out of the ground. He gives you tools.
Yeah.
And he shows you what to do. And then you kind of clean it. And, you know, a couple hours later, you're eating it. So
yeah, a couple hours later, his Zia is making the pasta. And then you get to enjoy it under the pergola. And you have a beautiful view of Le Marche's rolling hills. And it's really just, it's like that beautiful experience. You have the food, the people, the dogs, and you actually get to, you know, take part in it. You're not just watching. You can actually dig the truffle out. I mean, of course, if you want to watch, it's your vacation. You can do whatever you want. And
people that want to partake, they can.
Yeah,
if you want to
dig,
you can. If you want to, be there with the dogs, you can. So that's we want it to be something real and special. And we hope, you know, anybody that comes will feel the same way.
Oh, sounds good. I reckon there might be a lot of truffles this year. What are you going to do? There's so many truffles.
Eat them.
the truffles can travel even though people can't right now. So a lot of truffles will go abroad, you know, to the restaurants and people that want to buy them. They'll still travel.
Yes, people can travel through their senses by having truffle, you know, flown abroad, and hopefully that helps people keep dreaming of Italy. I also should mention that the experience is, if you have a family, it's a really great experience for families.
Kids
really love it. It's a lot of fun. I know people like always worry about, well, what am my kid gonna like it, or are they gonna enjoy it? I think children will love it. Children love dogs, and it's a really fun experience for kids.
Yep. Oh, my kids would definitely love it. They would be so excited. In fact, you know,
when you eventually get here, I know your trip, we were hoping to see you last year, but
we'll bring you
if you're here.
Oh, we can't wait. And yes. I'm already thinking about what outfit I'm going to wear. I have the right boots, I think.
I know. You have to have the right shoes. You definitely have to have boots. We always warn people, make sure you have some sturdy shoes so you can, you know, it's a little bit hilly here in the area where the truffles are. So you got to have.
It's not that intense. If you have a pair of, I did it in,
sneakers,
but Chantal had beautiful ballerinas.
No, I didn't.
So that was a little more difficult.
I had Supergas, and let's just say the grip on your Supergas They're not very good. Yeah, like
and they're no longer white.
No, they're not white.
And I guess you'd have to bring your stretchy pants too, because you're going to be eating a bit of pasta. And
I always go with dresses. You can eat whatever you want in flowy dresses.
It's not overwhelming, though. It's not like a six course, you know, like it's not an overwhelming meal.
No, no.
You're sitting for 4 hours. Just want to say that because people think it's all the meals are like that. But
we always try to find balance.
We find a good mix, yeah, or else we realize it's, yeah, it's great you're in Italy, but you also want to be able to get up from the table.
So. I'd just like to see another table at this point, but, but anyway. Oh, wow. Well, if that doesn't make everyone want to go hunting and eating truffles, I don't know what will. And Chantel and Giovanni, can you please remind our listeners how they can stay in touch with you and learn more about your tours?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, which is www.theitalianontour.com. And if they're looking for a little Italy inspiration while they can't travel, they can also follow us on Instagram. Our at is The Italian on Tour. So I post all kinds of fun stuff there, and you know, everything from trips to the Dolomites, all over the Marche, Abruzzo, and this weekend we're also heading to Abruzzo to the olive oil region. So that kind of stuff is where you can find real-time Italy inspiration.
It's so much fun, and I always love talking to you. Grazie, Chantel and Giovanni. It's been fantastic learning about truffles and the culture and traditions and history behind this delicious ingredient. I'd love to be there next fall to experience the truffle season myself, so fingers crossed we can make that happen. Grazie.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Oh, goodness. Recording these episodes always makes me so hungry. And as someone who is very committed to foodie experiences, going truffle hunting is really one of those things that I feel like I need to do as soon as possible. A big, big thanks to Chantel and Giovanni for telling us all about truffles in Italy, and in particular the Le Marche region. If you would like to learn more about their tours, do head on over to theitalianontour.com. We've also provided all their details on the episode show notes at untolditaly.com/37. There's a link in your podcast app too that'll take you straight there. Now, if anyone is interested in joining a truffle tour or any of the amazing Italian on Tour experiences with Chantel and Giovanni in 2021, they have a special offer for you, our listeners. Anyone booking before September 23rd, 2020 gets a discount on their 2021 tours that you can book with confidence thanks to very generous cancellation terms. Once again, you'll find all the details about the offer on our show notes at untolditaly.com/37. So that's all for Untold Italy this week. Grazie and thank you for joining us. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe to Untold Italy on iTunes or your favourite podcast player so you don't miss an episode. Ciao for now.